All right, tremendous. Thank you all day long for being in your spots and all the stuff you do in the background, particularly on Sunday mornings, just to make sure that everything around here is going well and all the different ministries you serve, and I'm really grateful for that. I want to speak tonight. I want to share a thought, just kind of a reminder. Sometimes we need a reminder about things in the midst of what we're doing, and I think that'll be the direction we'll go tonight, and I hope you understand this. We're not preaching on our theme, but our theme for the year, and there's a lot of time left in the year, is leveling up. And we taught a whole series on Sunday morning about that, and I mentioned the many reasons. We don't want to get comfortable, whether it's as a church or in our own personal life, in our Christianity. We don't want to get complacent. You know, we're just like, well, everything's as good as it's going to get. Let's just stick with that. Really, we don't want to lose compassion. As a church, it's very, very easy just to get stuck where you're at and you quit seeing the needs of people. And then, of course, we never, never want to lessen our commitment to the Lord. That's very, very important. And we've applied that in many areas. You can apply that in your life as a Christian. You can apply that in your marriage as a spouse. You can apply that in your family as parents. You want to apply that in your ministries, in your testimony, in your service, and all the different things. You ought to always be looking at your life and like, is there something I can do better? And I'll tell you the time when you get to the point when you don't have to get better. When you're dead.
Yeah.
You'll be perfect then, right? But we always want to strive to get better. But tonight I want to talk to it a little bit from the standpoint of our church. When a church, and I could give you, I've been a Christian for a while, and I've known a lot of churches, a lot of great churches, and a lot of great churches are no longer what they once used to be, and I always wonder, you know, how that happens, because they get complacent, they get a little bit comfortable, and when that happens in a church, I'm going to tell you really the first area where you'll start to see it. It'll be in their evangelistic and soul-winning outreach, going after people, trying to be in their community, trying to reach out to every group that they can. There was a church in Ohio, really through the 60s and 70s and 80s and into the early 90s, that was a tremendous church. It was Landmark Baptist Temple. It was pastored by a man named John Rawlings. He took over in the 50s. The church had some problems, and they brought him in. It was a little church, and he started caring for people. He started reaching out to people. By the time they got into the 60s, they had to build a brand new auditorium, 2,000 people. They regularly filled that. Their church would regularly average 3,000 with big days over 5,000. And they were known as a very, very aggressive gospel preaching, getting out to the community, running buses, the whole nine yards. But when you would go out, I've heard people say when they would go out the foyer to the church, there was a huge sign there that everybody would see before they would leave the church. And the sign said this: they will not seek, they must be sought. They will not come, they must be brought. They will not learn, they must be taught. That's why that church was what it was. They had a church, and they had a people and a pastor. That was their thrust: getting into the community, going to the people that weren't going to just come. Well, as what happens with a lot of churches now, if you were to look up that church now, it's no longer Landmark Baptist Church. It's some other landmark something, and it's a very small one, and it's more contemporary and a nightclub look, and they're not really aggressive going soul winning. It's nothing what it used to be. And by the way, that story could be told and repeated over and over and over. Many months ago, we talked about, we didn't show the video here, I had contemplated it, but many of you have already seen it. Akron Baptist Temple in Akron, Ohio, pastored by Dallas Billington. They had a church too. They ran 5,000. They regularly ran 5,000. And what happened there is the same thing. And we all saw, most of us, how many saw the video on YouTube where the kids snuck into the church and the church is empty, it's broken down, it's destroyed, and as he's going through the church, he's finding old relics of when the church was full and it was a hotbed. They ran buses, they went soul winning, all those different things, and now it's just nothing. Broken windows, graffiti. I believe last year they started tearing it down, and it's probably nothing today. How does that happen? How does a church that at one time was doing good, was reaching their community, which had a fervor. Now they no longer have it or are no longer in existence. It's because they lose their zeal for serving the Lord and reaching people. And I don't ever want that to happen here. In this chapter, Jesus had already given an illustration. He had talked about those who had been invited to a dinner, and he used the first one to teach humility. You know, the rich people come and they want the best seats, and he says, no, you should sit in the back and have them bring you up. And so he has this dinner theme going on. Then he tells a parable of a great supper, and they go out and they invite people to come, and let's look at what happens here. Verse 17, and he sent his servant at supper time to say unto them that were bidden, to those that were invited. They invited some guests. Come, for all things are now ready. Hey, we're ready for you. We've invited you. Dinner's ready. It's on. Let's go. And verse 18, and they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first says, I have bought a piece of ground. And then he says, because of that, I must needs go and see it. By the way, how many of you would buy something without seeing it? That's a lame excuse, okay? That's what it is. It's just an excuse. He goes, I pray thee, have me excused. The other says, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. And because of that, and I go to prove them. How many of you would buy something without seeing first if it actually works? That's not a legitimate excuse. Then this guy, he just gets to the point. I have married a wife. Now the other guy said, I did this, and I need to do this. I can't come. This guy just says, I've bought a wife. I can't come. He's legit. Okay, it's an excuse, but hey, it's a good one. But there's people like that, right? You go out there, not everybody's going to come to church, and that's okay. We can't force people to come. But just because there are people out there that won't come to church, or there's people out there that you could share the gospel with, and they won't get saved, doesn't mean that our responsibility to go out is done. No, we have to go out still. Verse 21, so that servant came and showed his Lord these things. He's like, everybody's making excuses. The dinner's ready. No one's coming. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to the servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. He goes, go get anybody and everybody. Apparently, this man had done some of this. And he says in verse 22, and the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded. I've went out and I've invited people. Maybe he was a little bit complacent already. And he goes, and yet there is room. But Jesus was not okay with that. Jesus was not okay with the fact that he says, Lord, we've already went out and invited people, and there's all this room. And he says this in verse 23. The Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. He says, there's still room. And just because you invited people and they said they'd come and they didn't come, or they were supposed to come, and just because some came doesn't mean we shouldn't go out there. Keep going until my house is filled. And by the way, God's house will never be filled. We could fill it here, but you know what would happen if we fill it here completely. Well, you don't want to hear that part. We'll just build more, okay? But he says, no, don't be content with that. And I'm not saying that to say we're not doing a great job. We are. You're doing a fabulous job. Our church is doing a great job. We're going out into our communities, and we're reaching people, and they're coming. But I don't want us to say, well, we've done enough, because they're in the point of every church that's ever died, they get to that point. We're doing enough. Why should we do more? Jesus doesn't believe that. Jesus says we should. So I think of our church. A lot of good things are happening around here. Amen. I think only one Sunday this year we haven't had baptisms. And by the way, we're growing. And I forgot. Adriel and Bethany, not to put you in the sermon, I forgot to announce, they're going to have a baby. Amen. Let's give them a hand. We're going to grow one way or another, right? Biological growth. I'm sorry, I saw you and I forgot I mentioned that, but I'm excited for you. But we need to grow. Listen, this Easter, last Sunday Easter was the best Easter we've ever had. We're having good groups of people showing up. We're having people saved every single Sunday. Yeah. We had a pastor here, and I was trying to show him. He wanted to see the new building, and he had been here before. And I'm like, I was walking around, and I opened, I think, two or three classrooms to get a look in the classroom. And I think of the three classrooms, two of them, no, all three of them had people in there winning someone to the Lord. Amen. That's a good thing. Amen. And I think we should, our bus ministry is growing. We bought another bus, we started another route, and we're already being pushed to buy another bus. Yeah. You know, we need another wheelchair van. We do. There's more people that'll come. Amen. Every week there's visitors. Every week people are really getting baptized, and we've really taken, not advantage, but this building, we've already like came in, and now we're filling it already. Amen. I believe, and by the way, when we say those things, it's not because we say, look at us, how great we are, because it's like, I don't know how we're pulling this thing off. It's like, I don't know what's going on here. I don't want to mess it up. Well, for whatever reason, I think people in our area are open to the gospel. Yeah. And I think when people are just obedient to go do what you're supposed to do, I think God responds. Yeah. I think a lot of churches don't do that. Well, why don't people come? How often are you going out, right? And we just have people that love people and are doing it. But I believe God's effort is evident, and he is blessing our efforts. Now, although I am amazed at God's effort, and I hope you don't take this wrong, I'm not content with what's going on. Because I don't want to get to that place. Because when we get to that place, you start to die. I told the staff the other day, Pastor Esposito used to state all the time in staff ministry with anything we're doing, you've got to be careful and make sure you're always trying to get better because everything is dying. And you got to constantly make sure you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. When I think of our church, I love what's going on. I'm excited to be here every Sunday, not just to be here, to see what's going on. Yep. But when I think of our church, I just don't think of it in the present. I want to think of it in the future. Yeah. I want this to be here long after I'm gone. Amen. I want this to continue. Thank you. One person, okay? Yeah. They're like, when are you leaving? You know, can I come to that funeral? Like, no, just my wife says, don't come, don't send flowers. She takes square cash, okay? But I want to make sure that we're in a place where we keep doing what we're supposed to be doing. Amen. And just because we're doing that, and God's bringing people, we need to be reminded sometime this thought. We cannot stop. Right. We cannot stop. Because I know that in the midst of a church like this with great people, that if we're not careful, there will be some people that will stop going. And there will be people who stop growing. And when you do that, if you're not focused, a church starts to slide backwards, and I don't want that. So as I look at this, I want to give us some admonitions, and I hope you understand, I'm not harping. I'm not like, you're not doing enough. I'm not doing that. What I'm saying is, let's keep going. What I'm saying is, I want to make sure that we're going to keep doing what we're supposed to be doing. So here's the thoughts. Number one, get going. Here it is. Verse 21, he says, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city. Verse 23, go out into the highways and hedges. See, when it comes to what a church is supposed to be doing, when it comes to doing our purpose, the word is go. Just go. Remember the sign. They will not seek. They must be sought. We need to go after people. That's where it starts. It all starts with the willingness to go out for the Lord, to share the gospel, and to reach and visit those who need the Lord Jesus Christ. Go is very important. Matthew 28, go ye therefore teach all nations. Mark 16, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world. I get the idea when I read the gospels, God wants us to go. And by the way, there's other verses that he uses, and we know them. He doesn't even use the word go, but it's there. Acts 1:8, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and othermost part of the world. You're going to be witnesses where? Out there. How are you going to get out there? Go. Romans 10, and how shall they preach except they be sent? John 20, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And let me say this. Nobody, as a Christian, is absolved of the responsibility to go. There's only two options when it comes to going. Obedience, disobedience. Yes, no. He tells us to go. When I think of that, I think of three groups. I think of those who need to start going. What do you mean? You know, as a new Christian, as I came into the church, I came into church, I was there for 6 months, and I was growing in my faith. I told you the story, I was in trouble, I got saved, I just started growing in my faith, and I was there for 6 months, and after about 6 months, I started getting an idea, it's time for me to get involved. And one of the things I had to do was get out and go. And so, I thought, it's time. What am I waiting for? I need to go out and share the gospel. If you're newer, or you've been around for a while, maybe you've never done it, let me admonish you. Get in on it. Amen. Don't just sit around and say, others are doing it, the church is doing it. It's like, hey, how can I do it? I want to be part of it. Amen. You know why people don't? They don't understand their responsibility. The Bible says it, that's our responsibility. Amen. You know, we're fearful of people. You know, I have found that most people are pretty kind. You know, we want to hear the story where someone yells and slams the door. Most people aren't like that. If they don't want to hear you, they'll just say, no, thank you. But you know what? That's just an excuse Satan uses to get us to go out there. Well, you know, Pastor, if I go out there and talk to somebody, I might make it worse. Also, wait a minute. If they're on their way to hell, is there like a second hell they'll go to if you go there? No. God will use you. You never know how that works unless you do it. You say, but Pastor, I don't know how. Listen, we don't bring you out here and say, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to tell you, here's some tracks. Go over there on your own and go have a good time. I'm like, No. You can go with somebody. Yep. They'll show you how to do it until you're comfortable. Yeah. And by the way, it's not that hard just to hand somebody a track. Yep. Say, hey, look at the back of this. The verses on the back of this changed my life. Yep. But if you don't go, I encourage you to go. Some of us, we need to renew going. And I'm not picking on anybody at all because I know how it is in church of any size. There's some that used to do it and now they don't do it anymore. And by the way, that's not an option for a Christian. God's beginning has no end. There's not an expiration date on soul winning. There's not an expiration date on getting into our community. We need to keep going. Your responsibility never ends. And I hope some people, you said, I've kind of backed off a little. Back on. Amen. Well, I'm a Sunday school teacher. Then you have to go. I think it's in our workers' covenant. I'm not trying to, split hairs here. But it's like, good. You want to teach somebody about the Bible? What are you going to do when you get to the parts about the gospel if you're not going? Yep. Well, Pastor, I just sing for the Lord. So you're going to sing about it? Then you know what? Okay, I'll give you that. Knock on someone's door and sing the gospel to them. You were on your way. You are all a sinner. Okay, I don't care what you do. You got to get the message out. Well, I give. Okay, that one's legit. No, okay. You can't give your way out of it. By the way, thank you for being a giving church. Well, I've been a member for a long time. You know, if the stones were made out of the blood of members, I would build a wall. Good. Now go out there and share something with somebody. And I'll say this, if you're going, keep going. There's not a quitting spot. Be encouraged. Secondly, go everywhere. Verse 23, he said, go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. But he said, go to these two places. A highway is a place of travelers, people passing by that you come in contact with. Hedges really means it's like a fence place. So you can almost picture it as somewhere where someone would reside. So we go to their houses. We go knock on their doors. Or as we're just out and about, God brings us into contact with people. We're supposed to go everywhere to get the gospel to everybody. What is the highways? Maybe it's a place where you shop. You know, you mean hand them a track. By the way, a lot of times, if you know, ladies would probably go more than this, but you go to the same place over and over and over, and you know the person that works there, or you start to know their name. Give them a track and invite them to church, and you have that ongoing relationship to try to encourage them to be here. Maybe it could be people you work with. And I understand you have to be, sensitive because you're working with them all the time. But if let them know you're a Christian and sometimes problems come up in a person's life. And you know who they're going to go to? They're going to go to the Christian. And you're going to have an opportunity. It could just be people that God providentially brings your way. That's why it's your idea, a good idea. Just have some tracks around you. And I know most of you ladies, you have tracks in your purse. That's good. But make sure occasionally you take them out, okay? We don't want you to pull out an Easter track from 3 years ago. The dates change. I don't know if you know that. Sometimes Easter's in March. Other time it is in April. So we got to make sure. What about the hedges? That's just knocking on doors, following up on people that visit our church and going into our bus route areas and wherever we're going. But even more than that, God has a bigger place he wants us to go everywhere. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and other parts of the world. You know, we're responsible to get the gospel out and go, not just here, but everywhere. Everywhere. But you see, a church can't use as an excuse they're going here for not going there, for not supporting those that are going there. And other churches, the other way around. I support people who are going there so I don't have to go here. The strength of our missions program is going to be the strength of our church. The stronger our church is, the stronger our missions outreach will be. And so the two go together. We have to always do that. Next. Number three, we need to compel compassionately. He says, go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. You know what the word compel means? To drive in by force. Now, calm down. That doesn't mean you go and grab someone and put them in a full Nelson and say you're coming to church. And you know what it's saying? Be passionate about it. Don't just take no for an answer. Do you know the church is not supposed to be, is supposed to be offensive? We're supposed to be going, not just offending. Most churches are just offending. Here's my ground. No. We're supposed to be going. Matthew says, it says this. He said, and I say unto thee, Matthew 16:18, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the church, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Oh, bless God, Satan can attack us, and he's not going to get us. Hold on, that's not what a gate is. A gate's a security measure. It's hell's gates. When we're going out, we're going into hell's territory. We're going against the gates of hell. And can I just tell you something? They're no match for God's power. And by the way, the gospel has power as well. Right? So let me say this, we need to just be ready and compassionate and ready to go, and let's compel people. We're not just taking it easy. I heard a pastor one time say, not a pastor, we had an evangelist many years ago, and he said, if I was a pastor and I had someone on my church roll and they missed 3 weeks in a row, I'd take them off. Now I'm thinking, that's why you're an evangelist. Now, I'm sure if he's a pastor now, he's changed his mind. We're not supposed to give up on people so easily. The fact of the matter is this. If we understood what was at stake, we would not take no as an answer. We don't force people. Remember what the sign said. They will not come. They must be brought. I remember one time, and to be honest with it, I regret this. I think about it sometimes, and I regret it. But I was a bus captain when I was in Bible college. And we would pull up to the last corner before we get on the freeway to go to church. We'd have a big group of kids. It was a little area there, and I think it was my wife's area. And she would round up the kids there, and they were there. Right on that corner there, we had a gypsy family, and they're a bus captain's dream. They had like 8 or 9 kids. Are you with me? Bus captain pulls up, and they all hop on the bus. And one of the brothers, there was a group of teenagers that were coming. And they were a little rough around the edges, but they would come. They came pretty much every week for about a month or so, and they were coming. And I was pulling up to that last stop, and we were a little bit late. And, you could not be late. They wanted your bus in on time. And I went on there, and the brothers and sisters got on the bus, and there was a group of about 4 or 5 teenagers there. I'm like, let's go, guys. Let's get on the bus. We got to go. And they're like, you know what? I don't think we're going to go today. And I'm like, oh, come on. What are you talking? Get on the bus. Let's go. They're like, no, there's something we've been invited to. I want to go do that. And I started going back and forth, like, you know, I could usually talk them into it, right? And I would look at the clock, and they were being a little obstinate, like, we really don't want to go. And I'm like, you know what, I don't have time for it. Well, I'll get you next week. So I left them. Came back that afternoon, and when I came back, one of the other teens in the area came up to me and said, after we left to take them from church, they were going to wherever they were going, and they were walking across where the L trains are in Chicago. How many, you know, the elevator, and they're run by electric. And one of the kids was messing around and fell on a transformer and was electrocuted. And I was thinking, man, what if I had been just a little more, maybe they wouldn't have come, but maybe I could have been a little more persistent. But let me say this, the people we're talking to about the gospel, you know what their future is? And I'm not saying that we should be, mean-spirited. We shouldn't be, you know, like, but I think sometimes we just don't understand what's at stake. If we would just spend a little bit more time. You don't know what's coming. By the way, none of us are promised tomorrow. And so we need to take this seriously. What to us seems like just, oh, well, to them may not be an oh, well. We have to compel them to come in. Number four, we have to retain disciples. He said this, compel them to come in. I looked at the word come in. It means to enter into a state or into a group, to be part of. You see, we do really good at going out. And by the way, we do good at this as well. But I hope you understand our goal isn't just for someone to just, you know, we want them to just get saved. That's a tremendous thing. You don't understand. We want them to get saved. We want them to come to church. But don't we want them to stay? Yeah. Don't we want them to become part of our church? Yeah. Don't we want them to become a disciple of Christ? Yeah. Don't we want them to experience in the Christian life what you and I experience? Yeah. Yes, sir. You know what that means? We have to work about it. We have to work at it. People aren't just going to say. You see, when we talk about as Matthew told us in Matthew 28, go ye therefore. Do you know that that's not all the Great Commission is? There's another verse. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. You know, we ought to want people that get saved to learn the Bible. We say we believe the Bible. We say the Bible has the answer for every problem. And we all believe that. And we're in on it. But we ought to want people to get in on that. And I'm just going to tell you something. It takes work. That's why we have Sunday school. That's why we have discipleship. That's why we always have all of these things. And it starts with when they come in to the church. You want me to be practical? Try to always be early and seek to greet people and make them feel welcome. You know, that's where it starts. That's where it starts. They come into a church like ours and it's like, I don't know anybody. They come into the morning service, they're just looking for a seat. But you know, it's nice when someone says, hey, how are you? What's your name? My name is. How'd you hear about us? And get to know them. And by the way, if they come back, remember their name. And I know I forget sometimes. And I'm like, you know what? You were here last week. Give it to me again. You know? And it's like, or give me a letter. Give me your first letter. And it's like, give me the second letter. Can I get all of them? I'm struggling here. But try to remember it. Get people to come to your adult Sunday school class. You see someone in your class and maybe they're gone for a few, text them, like, hey, how are you doing? Everything okay? If you win somebody, try to get them to church. You get somebody here and they're coming and you know them, take them out to lunch. Make them feel welcome. That's usually the first start. They like the church. They like the people. They keep coming. And now they'll start to grow in their faith. Amen. The next thing is, he says, and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Let's fill it completely. Yeah. That's what fill means, filled entirely. You know what? I'll be content when everybody in Long Beach is reached for Christ. Yep. Pastor, do you anticipate that happening? No. But you know what? I can shoot for it. Yeah, right. I'd rather shoot for it and reach more than not reach as many as we should. And the reason I mention this is this. If we're going to do that, we have to put up with the inconveniences. Yep. It is. When I'm on vacation, I visit churches, I get sick because they have all kinds of land. And I'm like, I'll be honest, like we come there, it's like my family sometimes gets mad. They'll have visitor parking right in the front, and I won't park there. It's like, you're a visitor today. But I'm like, I know, but I can't do it at our church. I'm not going to do it at this church. Then one time we were a little bit like, ah, okay, just this once. But we need to be inconvenienced. You know what? The auditorium may be a little fuller than you're comfortable with. Right?
Yep.
Like, hey, Sunday mornings. It's like, I try to have a place I sit every week, but someone took my spot. Good. Your name's not on it. Okay. You know how you get your spot? Thank you. Get here earlier. Okay. Buy a little security system for your seat. If we're going to be inconvenienced, we might have to be creative with some of the things we do. Do we still have Sunday school classes outside? Any? Joseph? Man, look at that. We're a real church. This is the first, since summer, right? This is the first time since ever. You know what my goal is? I want to have Sunday school classes outside again. Okay? I'm excited about that. But you know why we had Sunday school classes outside? Because we didn't want to stop because we didn't have enough building. You know why? Half of our service used to be outside under the patio, and you're hoping they're listening? You know, we put the video up there, and hopefully it's not the Super Bowl. It's because we needed more space, and that's all we could come up with.
Yep.
One of our first nurseries was on a school bus.
Yep.
We just ripped the seats off and parked it in the corner. But you know what? We were going to have a nursery.
Amen.
We will have to accommodate people okay, I have to say this. I'm the pastor. By being inconvenienced with our parking. There's a lot of, here, look, and I'm not, and just, you know, just take it for what it is. There's a lot of things we can be creative with and come up with space. Parking's not one of them. People have said, why don't you build a parking structure? Number one, the city won't let us. Number two, I'm thankful for that, because number three, I've seen the cost. It is drop-dead expensive. It just is. And what happens is, if there's no parking, new people will come, they'll drive in, and they'll leave.
Yeah.
And it's happened. I think a couple weeks ago, someone told me this came, hey, no parking. And I'm not harping on us because, I mean, we have like, what, 70 parking spots? It's ridiculous. But we have to be willing to be inconvenienced. Park at Blue Line, I know. And don't park, you can park on... Yeah, no, don't park here on Sunday morning unless you're older or whatever, but some of you young ones, it's not going to kill you to go to Blue Line. Well, Pastor, I'm a bus route, and, you know, they don't have a shuttle. Get over it. Okay, go park over there. Your bus captain will drive around. You know, we'll do everything to reach people with the gospel except park at the Blue Line. Well, Pastor, I own a Tesla. No one's keyed it over there yet. Okay, I have a Tesla, and I park it over there every week. And it doesn't matter what I drive, I'm getting on the shuttle. Okay, the shuttle had some issues this morning. We got to get it fixed. But hey, it's a Ford.
Yeah.
We've got 3 years out of it already, and I'm shocked. But I'm not saying that. And it's not just something Pastor wants to harp about, but it's just another way. You know what we do? We're showing we care by trying to leave some parking for the new people.
Yeah.
I hope you understand that. I would say this. When it comes to being an inconvenience for church, the only people I think that would be upset about that are people that aren't involved. And by the way, I don't know anybody that's upset with it. Maybe the parking, okay. But I don't know anybody else that's upset because we're reaching people. And thank you for that. I think you have that heart. And then lastly, when we're done, acknowledge eternity. Those people that didn't come, he said, verse 24, for I say unto you that none of those which were bidden shall taste of my supper.
Yeah.
Says you were invited. We had a spot for you. You didn't come. You're not eating. Well, what happens when someone doesn't get reached with the gospel here? It's all about eternity. It's all about eternity. That's why we do what we do. You know, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we what? Persuade men. If you really believe it's real, you will do that. We don't want to quit. We don't want to give up. Everything is really we do. A lot of what we do is because of this one chilling reality. Hell is real. If I could take that out of the Bible... But you know what? God's provided a way out. And people have to make a choice. I understand that. And so I'm just encouraging tonight, and I'm done. Let's be careful. There are a lot of opportunities to get sidetracked and to quit. Let me give you the story and we'll be done. Probably one of the most grueling competitions in the in Olympic competition is the marathon, 26 point something miles, which is about 26 miles too far. 1968, the Olympics were held in Mexico City. By the way, that's high altitude too. Another bad one. But an Ethiopian man won the gold medal. He came into the thing. You know, after they win the gold medal, pretty soon right afterwards, they have the stand, and you know, gold. I don't know, silver medal. I know gold's at top. And you get on there, and they present the medals. They play the national anthems, and then they go home. So the Ethiopian, he won. They went up there. They awarded the medals. He, you know, got his medal. They played the national anthem. They left. A long time later, the crowd left. There was only probably a couple hundred people left in the stadium. Well over an hour after the ceremony came a guy running in. His name was, I have his name here, John. He came running in. At the 12-mile mark, he cramped up. And after he cramped up, he kind of fell into another competitor who sent him flying. He dislocated his knee. I think he kind of got it back. He was injured. Instead of quitting, he got up and decided, I'm going to go. Well, after everybody was gone, the medals are given out, here comes this guy limping into the stadium. Makes it to the end. Last place. Well, they asked him. They said, why in the world didn't you quit? You're injured. You were bleeding. Why did you keep running? And here's what he said. My country did not send me 5,000 miles to start the race. They sent me 5,000 miles to finish the race. You know what God wants us to do?
Finish.
Just keep finishing. Just keep doing what we're supposed to be doing until we get to the end of our life. Let's not quit. Say, Pastor, when are we going to quit? So, when we die.
Come on.
This is why God left us on this earth.
Yep.
And I don't want our church to get to the place where we quit doing what we're going to do. Because if that happens, we'll just be another story.
Yeah.
Who knows? Someone will be here with a YouTube video. Right? The church that used to meet outside and got a nice building, and now the city's ready to tear it down. I don't want that.
Amen.
There's more people that need the gospel. Let's bow our head and close our eyes for a minute if we may. Every head bowed and every eye closed just for a minute. And by the way, this message is not birthed out of a fact that this is happening, because it's not, right? But you know how it is. Sometimes we need a reminder.
Yep.
Sometimes we need a strong word, I guess, but a warning to say, hey, I've seen it happen in other churches. I don't want it to happen here. I love coming to church because I love what's going on. I love being here. I love serving here. I love seeing what all the people and the new people and the baptisms and people raising their hand for salvation, people almost in every room on Sunday morning getting the gospel shared to them individually. I never want to be here or someone be here, you know, and say, you know, I remember back in the day, Pacific Baptist Church used to have these days where everything was full and they have these friend days and the buses were running full and they were out in all these rest homes and they're bringing people to church. They had all these Sunday school classes and all these nurseries and now it's two Sunday school classes and two nursery rooms. And the bus sits out there rusting. No, I don't want that. You know why I don't want it? God doesn't want it. And so my admonition to us this evening is this. God's blessing, because he's chosen to bless, God's given us his favor, let's not stop.
Amen.
We mustn't stop. Let's stand together if we may tonight. If God spoke to you tonight about anything, this altar is open. May we come down and say, God, you're using me, and please, would you continue to use me, and would you use me in a greater way? Lord, is there anybody that I can encourage? Is there anybody that I can help, that I can be a blessing to?